This is Movies for the Blind, episode 167, The Basketball Fix, part 2 of 2.
No fast buck is worth losing a friend.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. The Basketball Fix continues, and you know, since I record this in Canada, I like pointing out the stars who most people don't know come from here. Well, not even I knew that this film's star was Canadian. John Ireland, who plays Pete, the sports writer and our sort of narrator, was born in Vancouver, though he soon moved to the U.S. with his family. Still, he did win a Canadian swimming marathon as a young man before he went on to Shakespeare, Broadway, and a long and prolific career in movies and TV. He was nominated for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for playing a reporter who gets wise to the devious plans of a popular politician in All the King's Men, making Ireland the first Vancouver-born actor to get that honor. He plays another man of the press here, also keeping an eye on a prospective hero possibly going astray. Pete Faraday has recruited high school basketball phenom Johnny Long to play for a local university. But while Johnny does become a sports star, he's doing it at a time when that doesn't mean making much money. Supporting a little brother and hoping for a life with well-to-do girlfriend Pat, Johnny's feeling some economic pressure, which could be relieved by joining gambler Mike Taft in a point-shaving scheme. And Johnny wants to stay clean, but his bad attitude about his finances has pushed Pat away, so he's vulnerable as we rejoin him in the conclusion of The Basketball Fix. Soon after, Johnny pulls up outside Jed's place. Setting the brake, he gets out of the car, then walks to a door. He presses a button for a doorbell. Jed answers the door.
Hi, Johnny.
Hello, Jed.
He gives back the keys.
Sure appreciated it. Thanks again.
That's all right. Have fun?
I tried anyway.
Trouble with Pat?
Yeah, I guess.
Buck up, kid. We all have our ups and downs.
Yeah, where are the ups?
Everyone's luck runs out if you don't give it a push once in a while.
He looks behind him.
Isn't that right, Mike?
It certainly is.
You remember Mike Taft, don't you, Johnny?
Sure, we're old friends. Well, don't just stand there, Jed. Invite the gentleman in.
Sure. Come on in, boy.
Jed pulls in a reluctant Johnny and closes the door.
Sit down.
Thanks, I like standing.
Same old Johnny.
What's this all about?
Taft sits.
Plain necessity. Groceries cost money and you can't eat a basketball. So Mike's got an angle.
I know, but you of all people...
What's so special about any of us? We gotta make a living, don't we? As long as I don't hurt anybody...
What about Becker? Do you think he'd like it?
He's winning his games, isn't he? Get yourself. You've been playing alongside me all season. You didn't notice me tossing points away. When I graduate in June... You know what, Johnny? I'll have a sports equipment store. All clear. Not a penny owing to anyone.
Nice feeling, to be clear. You ever had that kind of feeling, Johnny? You can look ahead, make plans. 3 years from now, when you graduate, you and Pat could...
Quit it, will you?
Mike's right, Johnny. It's not like losing the game. It's only the points.
Yeah, I know. The points. He's tossed at me a million times. Makes it look real easy with that dough dangling under your nose.
I didn't put it there. You asked for a job, remember?
That was before.
What's so different now? Give up eating?
Not yet. But I had to give up Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Taft stands.
Regardless of what we were just talking about, you shouldn't have.
There's a lot of things I shouldn't have done.
Then try a new way, just once.
No, I wouldn't know how.
Look, just watch Jed. You don't even have to miss a basket. Let him take the ball away from you once in a while.
That's right. Just watch me. You can hardly tell the difference.
Okay, I'll watch. But I'm not promising anything. Is that clear?
Of course. Anything you say.
I guess I'd better go.
Can I give you a lift?
No, thanks. I'll walk.
Why walk?
Taft counts out some money.
Here's a little cab there.
Thanks. I like walking. It's healthier.
Take it, kid.
He shakes Johnny's hand with it.
No strings.
What's that mean?
Just that. Only do me a favor. Stop reading a certain sports columnist. He's a guy that takes himself much too seriously.
Taft pats Johnny's back, and Johnny leaves with his money. Later, they play their next state game.
Jed was following Taft's pattern. At first, Johnny just watched.
Jed misses a shot.
No one could tell whether this was deliberate unless you were a mind reader or Johnny Long.
Taft watches from the stands.
Yeah, he put on the blinkers and raced straight ahead.
Pat watches.
The fix was in.
In another game, State heads down the court, where two teammates pass back and forth.
During the second game of the series, he tried it himself.
Jed passes to Johnny, who misses a layup.
It was easy. A little short on the swing, that's all. Just like Jed said, the first was the hardest. From here on in, it would be easy. So Johnny Long missed baskets and let the ball get away. Not too often, but just enough. While Mike Taft kept pulling the strings.
Later, Taft's shadow looms outside the locker room exit. Johnny steps out.
Johnny.
He steps to Taft, who hands him a folded newspaper.
Slow game, boy.
When Taft walks off, Johnny unfolds the paper and finds an envelope.
By this time, there'd been enough of these to make Johnny reach a long-awaited decision.
Later at the jewelry store, a ring is taken from the display.
Johnny Long, cash customer.
Would you care to insure the ring, sir?
No, I'll leave that up to her.
How about an inscription? There's plenty of room.
Yes, by all means. Just put, all my love, always. J.L. to P.D.
J.L. to P.D.
Yes, sir. Well, when will that be ready?
This afternoon, sir.
Good, I'll be back, say, around 5 o'clock.
Fine.
Johnny turns to go.
Just one moment, sir. Don't you want a receipt?
Was that necessary?
It's for your protection. Name, please.
Walker, J. Walker.
Yes, Mr. Walker, the address?
Oh, you won't need it. I'll be back in a little while.
As you say, sir.
He accepts the receipt.
Fine. Thanks very much.
The clerk watches him go. Then takes the receipt copy and inscription note and walks over to a co-worker.
Anything wrong? That gentleman who just bought the $1,000 diamond calls himself Walker, yet he wants the ring initialed J.L. Maybe it's a nickname. In initials? Besides, he looks familiar.
He looks familiar to me, too. Wait a minute. I saw his picture in today's paper on the sports page.
On the sports page? That's strange.
They look at a newspaper.
Why, yes. There he is. That's him. Johnny Long. J.L. Since when do kid basketball players get that kind of money?
Yeah, since when could any of these boys afford a $1,000 ring?
The clerk picks up a telephone.
Things like that warrant attention.
Later, over drinks at the nightclub.
I was afraid I'd never see this place again. I wouldn't have set foot in it without you.
Well, there's no other place. Especially considering the occasion.
Occasion?
It's kind of warm in here, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's perfect.
You know, in Europe, a gentleman would top off such occasions by kissing a lady's hand.
Well, why not?
She holds out her right hand.
No, the left hand.
What's the matter with this one?
Well, I have a left hand kiss.
She smiles and removes a glove from her left hand.
Let's have that kiss. I have a feeling it's neither right nor left, but underhanded.
She holds it out, and he puts on the ring. She gazes at it.
Oh, Johnny, it's beautiful. How on earth did you ever...
No questions, please. There's an inscription, see? There.
She takes it off and looks inside it, beaming. She kisses his cheek.
It's so much more than I hoped for. I don't know what to say.
What do you mean?
Nothing, Johnny, only I hope you remembered what we said about no shortcuts.
When she looks at him, he glances away.
Aren't you pleased with it?
I'm very pleased with it.
Well then, let's not pick happiness apart, huh? Let's just hang on to it.
I want to very much.
A waiter leaves the check.
Good.
Picking it up, he pulls out his wallet.
Well, I think what we can use now is a little change of scene.
As she gets her gloves and purse, he pays the check and stands, then pulls out her chair for her to stand. They leave. while a man at a table behind them watches, taking out a notebook. He writes, Long pays $20. Cafe check. Later, Johnny enters the team locker room and meets Jed.
Jed?
Yeah?
Have you got a minute?
Sure.
He takes Jed aside.
Hi, Marvin.
Away from the rest of the team.
What's on your mind?
Listen, I've been thinking.
Healthy habit.
It's about our agreement.
What about it?
Well, I'm pulling out.
Is that right? You told Mike?
No, I thought I'd tell you first.
What brought this on?
Well, Pat and I are engaged, and I want it to be right.
What marriage is right without money?
You'd be surprised how many couples have managed without Mike Taft.
Yeah, maybe so. Only he isn't gonna like it.
He's got no beef. I've given him his money's worth. I'm quitting as of right now, and that's all there is to it.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Jed walks off.
I do.
Johnny starts getting changed to play. Later.
Johnny tried to play it clean, straight from the heart. In an effort to make up for his temporary slackening, he made more baskets than ever. To everyone's delight.
Pat smiles from the stands.
Except maybe the few who had different ideas.
Taft doesn't smile from the stands as Johnny makes another shot. Later, the ball goes into the basket again. And again, and State leads 89-56. Later, a headline. Long on new scoring spree.
His college won the right to play for the championship.
Snuffing out a cigarette at a newspaper, Taft approaches Johnny on campus.
Hello, stranger. Long time no see.
Not long enough.
We're not back to that again, are we, Johnny?
We certainly are.
You're a strange boy. I never have been quite able to figure you out.
Then why try?
Well, I'm afraid I'll have to. You see, you represent quite an investment to me. And when the dividends stop coming in, I like to know why.
Hasn't Jed told you?
Oh, yes, some sort of silliness about you and Pat. But that doesn't make sense. You've done extremely well, Johnny.
So have you.
True, true. That's why I don't intend to stop now.
In case you didn't understand, Mike, I'm through.
You're never through, young man. It's only the beginning. You're in too deep to get out now.
Is that all?
Only half. There's a game tomorrow night, a special game, and you're going to play it a special way. I'm not a man of violence, Johnny. Don't make me one.
Johnny holds out his hand.
Look, Mike, I'm shaking all over.
Johnny walks away to Courtney in Taft's car.
Hello, Miss Courtney, how are you?
Fine, how's Pat?
Oh, she's just fine, thanks. We're getting married.
You are? Well, that's wonderful. But that's only natural. You're Aries and she's Sagittarius. But don't get married until Jupiter is on the cusp.
Also, make sure it's under the money sign.
Nice to have seen you, Miss Courtney.
He leaves.
What's wrong now?
Slight case of love sickness.
Oh, well, that's all right. Everything will be fine when Venus moves into his house.
I'll stick with a dollar. Move over.
In the next game, the score is tied.
The showdown came closer. The league championships pitted Brook College against State. The winner would get a crack at the national title.
Johnny runs around his defender, takes a pass, and takes a shot that misses.
Nat was working up another acute case of indigestion. With 15 years of basketball under his belt, he was still as nervous as his kids.
On the bench, he twists a towel in his hands as he watches Johnny pass to a teammate, who passes the ball back. Johnny dribbles through the defense, but the ball is stolen.
This was the first time I began to wonder whether Johnny was laying down.
Pete watches with Pat.
It's tough enough to tell any deliberate slip under ordinary circumstances.
Pete notices Taft smirking.
But with Johnny's peculiar style on top of everything else, there was absolutely no telling.
He looks at Pat's ring. While Johnny takes the ball down the court again. In the stands.
What a dribble.
Don't say that. He's a nice boy.
Johnny passes. Gets the ball back. Then powers through traffic to make a layup.
This could still mean nothing. Just the beginning of a narrow margin. The kind the fixers like. And there wasn't much time to go far beyond.
Scoring again, Johnny takes State to a 64-60 score. In the stands.
Apparently Taft had no hand in this one.
You think he had before?
Frankly, I wouldn't allow myself to think about it.
Well, you must have some opinion.
I don't know. I wish I could be sure.
When we meet Johnny later, maybe I could make him talk.
Johnny scores again. and Pat claps happily.
Final scores, Dave 66, Brooke 60.
Johnny's lifted on two teammates' shoulders.
The game gives State the right to play for the national championship. Don't forget this great team, which means the...
Pete and Pat stand to go with the rest of the spectators. The one man remains seated, taking notes.
Shooting of its freshman star, Johnny Long.
Later, at night, Taft waits in his car. Nearby, team members in their street clothes walk out of the locker room outside past a couple of tough-looking men. Watching, Taft nods to them when Johnny comes out.
Johnny Long? Yeah, I'm from the Sunday Magazine.
One man steps in front to shield anyone from the other man, taking Johnny into a corner and beating him up. Then they quickly leave.
Hey, Johnny, what happened? What's the matter? You okay, Johnny?
The men get into Taft's car. Then they ride off.
You okay, Johnny?
I guess so. Just got the wind knocked out of me, I guess.
He struggles up with some teammates.
What's the matter?
Including Jed.
I think they got a rib.
Just when we needed you most.
Don't worry. I wouldn't miss that playoff for anything in the world.
Come on, fellas. Let's get him inside.
Yeah?
They help him back into the locker room. In the restaurant, Pat waits with Pete.
He's just being nice, giving me a chance to make my pitch.
Oh, seriously, there's something wrong. He's never been this late.
You're gonna have to get used to it, the price of fame. Now, take me, for instance. I'm just a simple guy. No fans, no strings. Or maybe too simple.
He touches her arm.
You know, in some ways, I wish I were in his shoes.
But then you'd lose your dependability. Who would Johnny and I have to lean on?
Mr. Faraday?
Yeah.
Here's a call for you.
Thanks. Excuse me.
He gets up and goes to the bar, where he picks up the phone.
Hello? Yeah, this is Faraday. Is he all right? When did it happen? Yeah, I'll be right over.
Hanging up, he returns to the table and gets his coat and hat.
It's Johnny. Something's wrong.
Well, nothing serious. Just a little scrap at the gym.
You sure?
I wouldn't fool you, would I? You go on home and wait. The paper called me to cover it. We'll call you from there. That's all.
He escorts her out. Later in the locker room, Johnny lies on his side on a training table with his teammates around him. Pete walks in.
I'd like a word with Johnny, fellas.
He's all yours.
As they leave them alone, Johnny rolls onto his back.
Aiming for the headlines, huh? I'd
prefer not to.
That's exactly why I'm here. I made a deal with the boys and got myself an exclusive.
Thanks. Seems like you're always giving and never taking.
Only this isn't copy. What I want to know is strictly between you and me.
It's about those thugs. I never saw them before in my life.
You sure?
What do you mean, am I sure?
Look, I know it's none of my business, kid, but...
And why make it?
Let's drop the toughy act. Are you going to talk about it or not?
Look, there's nothing to talk about. A couple of hoodlums roughed me up. That's all there is to it.
Just didn't like the way you looked, huh?
I didn't have time to ask him.
Why didn't you ask Mike Taft?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I don't know why I bother, but I'll cover for you with the papers. Otherwise, you're on your own.
He turns to go.
Pete.
Then he turns back.
Yeah?
Does Pat know?
Sure. We were waiting for you when I got the call. She's at home.
Look, would you call her? I've got to do some thinking.
Think carefully. No fast buck is worth losing a friend.
Pete walks out. With difficulty, Johnny gets off the training table. He reaches for his coat, then straightens up as much as he can, and staggers out. Later, as he walks home, Taft's thugs wait behind a car and step out to meet him.
No trouble. Can they bring the coffin?
They escort him to Taft in his car.
Well, this is an honor. The big man himself.
I told you I was not a man of violence, Johnny. You gave me no choice.
What's next, the river?
No, we do things more sensibly.
Yeah, sure. I slipped in the bathtub.
Hurt?
Only when I chuckle.
It's too bad there's nothing funny about the big game. A nick like that should slow you down. Make it easier for you to spread the points.
You never give up, do you?
Would you, Johnny? Would you give up anything you really wanted? Like Pat, for instance?
You leave her out of this.
I don't know whether I can, if you don't play ball.
Why, you dirty...
The thugs hold him back.
Your side, Johnny. Remember your side. We don't want you to spread too many points.
I thought you did things differently.
Oh, we do. Completely up to date. Psychological persuasion, I call it.
Okay. You can save all that fancy lingo. I was tied and wrapped the day you met me.
Now you're making sense. Pat would like that.
You don't know Pat.
She's a woman, isn't she? What woman wouldn't like, shall we say, $2,000? Makes a nice start for a honeymoon.
Not this honeymoon. There'll be no fancy starts that I can't follow through. Take the dough and buy Lily a new hat.
You mean that you'll...
Yeah. Just one more game for free. But lay off Pat.
You have my word.
Glancing at the thugs, Johnny walks away. Later.
Yeah, he had his word, whatever that was worth.
Pete arrives at the newsroom.
Me, I had some words of my own. And I had to get them on paper in time for the big game.
He sits at his typewriter.
Any big game makes good copy. But this one had everything at stake. So my words had to be right. Right enough to get through to Johnny. I wanted him to know that it wasn't any more just a matter between him and me. It had become a matter of all the other Johnnies who might have the same trials, heartaches, and temptations.
He types.
I put the spot on Johnny. Still calling him the champion. Trying to stir a sense of responsibility in him. And hoping that maybe I could shame him into living up to the hopes Nat and I had for him when we picked him out of the ranks at the high school.
Later in the apartment, Johnny reads Pete's column in the paper. Mickey enters in a new suit jacket.
Look, Johnny, it's all ready. Mr. Martin fixed the sleeves and everything.
You look very nice.
I showed it to all the kids. I told them you bought it for me so that I could go see you in the big game.
Disturbed, Johnny puts down the paper.
Mickey.
Then stands and walks past him.
I'm sorry, but I don't want you to go to the game.
Gee, Johnny. You promised.
Yes, I know, but... Well, I can't look after you while I'm playing.
And... You said I could go with Mr. Faraday.
I just don't want you to see the game.
Not even on television?
No. No, not even on television.
He closes their TV cabinet.
I'm afraid your Christmas wish brought me bad luck.
Johnny sits again.
I've been playing pretty badly.
You can't play badly. I know you can't. I don't care what they've been saying.
Who's they?
Oh, the kids. I told them about Christmas, and then you're going to make all the baskets for me. And they say you've been missing some.
Well, sure. No one can make them every time.
But tonight, Johnny. What about tonight?
Okay, Mickey. You can come to the game as we planned. I won't miss a one.
He tugs at his jacket.
Not a one.
Then gets up and walks off. Later.
It had been a busy day for me, and it was going to be an even busier night.
Outside the locker room.
Nat was worried. Didn't even have time for a pre-game snack.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Pete.
How do you feel?
Great.
It's a tough team tonight. Good excuse for a close game.
Listen, we'll win by so many points your typewriter will have trouble keeping up with us. See you later.
Johnny goes into the locker room.
I believed him. And I began to feel better.
Outside Pat's.
Pat had made arrangements to borrow the car of a friend a few blocks away, but she never got that far.
A man intercepts Pat and escorts her to a car where another man waits. The first man opens a passenger door, and she gets in. He follows. And the other drives off. Later, the gym is packed.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now about ready to get underway with this national championship game. Let's quickly run down the starting lineup together.
Mickey sits with Pete, who notices the seat next to him is empty.
Senator Jensen.
In State's pregame huddle.
All right, fellas, you're in good shape. Learn all your play. Everything is okay. This is a tough team. Remember what they did to us the first half last year?
Mickey waves at Johnny, who turns his attention back to Becker.
I want that to happen. This is too rough.
They all put their hands together, then stand and break the huddle. The starters for both teams run onto the court. where the referee holds the ball between the two centers, then tosses it for the jump ball. State gets possession, and a teammate passes to Johnny for the first basket. As the other team takes possession, Mickey smiles, and the team on the bench claps. A man in a dark suit watches in the stands as do Taft and Courtney. Johnny takes the ball down the floor again and passes, but keeps running until he gets under the basket, where he catches a pass and jumps to score again. Possession changes again. But State intercepts. Johnny takes another pass and makes another shot. Pete notices the empty seat beside him, and Taft notices Pete, who checks his watch.
We had saved a seat for Pat, and Johnny knew it.
He takes the ball and passes to Jed, who dribbles down the court. Stopping, he takes a shot, which bounces off the top of the basket and away. Pete and Mickey watch with concern as the other team takes possession, but a timeout is called. Taft glances at Johnny, who stares across the court and notices Pat's seat is empty. With less than 10 minutes left in the first half, State leads 30-25.
Timeout for State. Score 30-25. State leads.
The team gathers around Becker.
Nice going, Johnny. Keep it up.
You're a little sluggish, Jed. What's wrong?
Got some rough boys out there. I'll speed it up. Jeanette, listen, do me a favor, will you? Ask Pete where's Pat. You were supposed to bring her tonight.
Right.
The team huddles, but Johnny looks toward the empty seat. He finally turns to Becker as Taft nods with a smirk. They break the huddle. Before going back out, Johnny stops Jed.
Where's Pat?
Should I know? It's got into you anyhow.
You know darn well what I mean.
Jed runs onto the court. Soon after, the score is 43-38.
State leads at the end of the first half for a fast-driving Aggie team.
In the locker room.
All right, now, if there's anybody who doesn't want to play this second half, let me know now. You haven't been playing too well the first half. What's your trouble? You having a little trouble with this man out there? You know how to handle him.
Pete walks in and approaches Johnny.
All right, let's go.
Let's get him go.
Everyone else leaves while Pete and Johnny stay.
I called her mother and she said Pat left for the game.
She's left? Thanks, Pete.
Johnny leaves the locker room. With 5 minutes left in the game, State leads 56-52. Taking the ball inbounds, a State player passes, then receives the pass back, dribbles, and takes a shot. It misses. Johnny gets the rebound under the basket, but he misses too. He turns to Pat's seat, still empty. He rejoins play as the man in the dark suit watches and Taft adjusts his tie, smirking.
Drive was gone. He was no longer the Johnny who promised to be a way ahead of my typewriter.
He misses again.
Maybe because somebody was way ahead of him.
Pete and Mickey watch as the other team comes within 2 points. Becker wipes his face on the bench. State tries setting up another play, but a jump ball is called. The referee takes the ball, and two opposing players face off to jump for it. It's tipped to Johnny, who makes an easy basket.
Johnny's team was winning all right, but the margin was getting conspicuously narrow and very much under what had been expected.
The man in the dark suit turns to Becker.
Becker?
Yeah?
Lieutenant Garrett of the Vice Squad.
Vice Squad? What's up?
This concerns illegal gambling.
So what do you want from me?
Pull out Johnny Long.
Johnny Long? What for?
He's been throwing your games for weeks now.
Oh, you can't tell me that. Look at him. He's in there. He's winning.
Johnny scores again on a layup. And attracts a foul called on the other team.
Sure, he's winning. Only as much as he's told to. It's practically impossible to spot on the court. If it hadn't been for some slip-up on the outside, we might never have known.
At the free throw line, Johnny is handed the ball.
Go in and tell Johnny I want him.
Okay, coach.
A player leaves the bench to go in as Johnny shoots and scores. When the substitute goes in, he goes to Becker, and Garrett stands.
What's wrong, coach?
I'm sick, Johnny.
Sorry, son. I have to ask you some questions.
Garrett walks Johnny away as Becker puts his head in his hand.
What's the matter? Why are they taking me now?
I don't know.
Taft also watches them walk past policemen.
Section C.
Who head toward the stands.
I'll be back in a minute.
Pete gets up and walks off. Taft starts to do the same.
Let's get out of here.
Sit down, Mr. Taft.
He does, and a policeman sits beside him. Sitting nearby, the thugs spot a couple more sitting not far away. Pete walks into a hall toward a door, where a man stands.
Where's Johnny Vaughn?
He nods toward the door.
I'm Faraday from the press.
I know. The kid's been asking for you, but I've got orders. They'll be taking him outside.
Any evidence?
Enough to get him all.
Mickey steps up.
All what?
Pete puts a hand on his shoulder and walks him away. On the court, Jed struggles for the ball. With the end of the game, he heads off the court. But a detective stops him and hands him to a policeman. They leave.
The final score, game 61, Aggies 58.
The crowd files out. Pat runs up to a policeman.
Where's Johnny Long?
They're taking him out the back way.
She hurries off through the crowd, and soon after, looks up as he steps out at an upper level.
Johnny!
He struggles with handcuffs as the photo is taken, then he's pulled away.
I didn't want to.
She follows.
Yeah, I know, all of it. You picked me up and had me down for questioning.
They picked you up? I thought maybe something had happened to you. I guess it's better this way, makes it easier.
Johnny, why didn't you tell me? That's what I'm here for.
Oh, I don't know, honey, I don't know.
Why don't you check with us later?
I doubt if you want to.
Why don't you wait and see?
He's taken away from Pat, Pete, and Mickey, and through crowds of onlookers. A car door is opened, and he's put in with Taft, Courtney, and the thugs. The car drives away.
I still can't believe it.
I couldn't either, until they got the report from the jewelers.
You mean my ring?
Yeah, the ring. Looks like it's going to cost him more than he figured.
Yeah. It's going to cost him much more than he had figured.
The End. Described for Movies for the Blind. And that was The Basketball Fix. If one looks to what happened in that similar real-life scandal in 1951, Johnny may get back with Pat, but likely not back with basketball. The players involved in the CCNY scandal were banned from playing in the NBA and went on to varying levels of success out of the spotlight. Of the seven teams involved, only the University of Kentucky was able to retain its prominence as one of the top college basketball programs in the U.S., even today, as the system purged itself of corruption, at least as much as it could, while temptations will always exist. Our next film also has plenty of sneakiness and secrets, but with way higher stakes. Victory or Death in World War I. And at the center of things, a very young Vivian Lee.
Madeline, you're a very charming young woman, but you're a very expensive luxury.
Charming young women are. And they give you something you can't get from anyone else.
How long has she been with us?
3 years.
You double-checked her story?
Naturally. She comes from a lawyer. Father's property destroyed to make defense fortifications on the Swiss-Italian border.
A volunteer?
Not exactly.
By the way, why did you give away my little trick last night?
Because you came to know such a lot about women. Do you?
Enough to realize I know nothing about them.
She's a sweet thing, and I hate to suspect her. But she's got a lot of German friends.
She's got a lot of French friends. One or two English friends.
Yes, I know. That's what's got me guessing.
You've never been simple, sincere, loyal or faithful to any woman in your life.
Hello. Give me the police.
That's Dark Journey, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. Also, check out the Movies for the Blind page on Facebook and channel on YouTube with previews and exclusive video clips. The MP3s are hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. And the movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.